listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. It's officially week 3 of college football now. It's rolling, and as it pertains to all things football between now and February 2nd, 2020, well, you'd better fasten your seatbelt, put your tray tables forward, your seat backs upright. It's time for takeoff, and you're all coming along for the ride. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. You know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Channel 83 from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. And by the way, we are also joined in studio tonight with Steve Fezzik. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome in a special guest, a gentleman. You hear him weeknights at 8 p.m. Pacific as the esteemed partner of Jason Smith on The Jason Smith Show. And in about 7 hours, he'll don the captain's chair, getting a grateful nation ready for Fox Sports Sunday. But his post-game analysis of the Bears-Packers season opener back on September 5th was so succinct, so concise, so terse, it really got my attention. Say hello to Mike Harmon. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
What's going on, Bernie? How are you?
Good, buddy. Regale us again. The Bears were heavily bet in the futures markets and certainly a huge handle in week one against Green Bay, but failed to deliver for their backers. Give a bit of a replay of that tour de force analysis you had back on September 5th.
Well, frustrating on a first glance, right, watching it there in the Geico studios. And Matt Nagy was really the guy that was the subject of my ire with a few coaching snafus or just curious. Look, he's going to forget more football every day of his life than I've ever learned. But just my rudimentary idea of if you've got a kicker on your roster, you've got to trust he can make a 46-yarder. And if once you take the penalty and it's 4th and 10, you got to think, hey, you know what? We can attempt a 51-yarder. Why? Well, he's a professional kicker. Kickers are supposed to be able to make a 51-yarder. And two, the defense had been dominant against the Packers, save for one drive. So if you're telling me you don't trust them on the field from midfield on, I think you've just undercut the biggest strength of your team, your defense, and then you haven't even given your kicker a chance to disappoint you. Still ghosts of 2018.
Good stuff, Mike. Before we get to the game tomorrow against Denver, it's the biggest decision here in the books in Vegas. Talk about the loss of Vic Fangio. Do you think that's going to tangibly affect this team?
I don't think it's as big a miss as some would like to think. I mean, Chuck Pagano is a capable coach. They certainly still have the personnel. And again, except for that 47-yard lollipop throw where Amukamara is tripping over his own feet and the safety disappeared, you got to call it what it is. I mean, and you go back and watch the game. I went and gave it a second spin. You know, defense did everything they could. I mean, they erased Devontae Adams, 36 receiving yards. You look at the run game, non-existent. Aaron Jones, both teams abandoned the run, which, again, is just inexcusable in a one-possession game to do that. And you just go on down the line, go back and watch the tape, the number of drops and opportunities. They should have been on their heels and just getting after it, you know, on the balls of their feet, getting after Rodgers instead of what we saw. But, yeah, I don't think Vic Fangio is as big a loss. I'm curious for the game planning for this week, whatever he remembers and has schemed from facing Trubisky in the past to maybe spook him a bit and, you know, certainly not absolving Trubisky for his sins of week one. He made his share of mistakes, but I don't think it was as much on him as most would like you to believe.
We're talking with Mike Harmon of the Jason Smith Show. You hear him weeknights, 8 p.m. Pacific. The coolest thing to come out of Evanston since Mustard's Last Stand. Talk about Mitch. Talk about Mitch.
Hey,
Trubisky.
They didn't cover today either. They let their back.
Well, that's
down.
True. That's true. They won by 16 and they were laying 18. That's UNLV Northwestern, but you'll take the W. Mitch Trubisky.
Exactly.
He feels like the. Mitch Trubisky feels like the elephant in the room to me, and there's a clear dichotomy in his performance last year against teams who finished above 500 versus teams who didn't. What's your take on Mitch Trubisky? Is he you know, the Chicago Bears' future's go?
Well, obviously he's always going to be compared to Mahomes and Watson now, so that's certainly not going to help. Because if you look at the trade in a bubble, right, when they went up to get him, the old rule of thumb for me is if you decide that that quarterback's your guy, then by God, you pin yourself to him, and that's the way it worked. And you see what San Francisco really got out of the deal, perhaps not as great as it was made to believe at the moment. What we saw last week, beat late on a few throws, the number of ISOs on his footwork, like he comes up with some awkward stances at the end of his throwing motion, which leaves you a little confused. And, you know, just a number of the throws just driving it a bit late and watching the windows close and trying to figure out if that's going to be a long-standing issue, if that's correctable. Was it an opening game thing? You know, because, again, everybody made Green Bay suddenly out to have a Super Bowl defense while at the same time calling Mitchell Trubisky the worst starting quarterback in football. I don't know that you can have it both ways, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, there were a number of throws that were late where he looked the receiver down, right, got myopic on Allen Robinson for a while and then Taylor Gabriel for a couple of series as well. So you look at that and have to question all of that. But I still go back to you need some balance, and there's no reason he should be dropping back 53 times, throwing it 45 times in a game that finishes 10-3.
Mike, say hello to Steve Fezzik. He's got a question for you.
How you doing, hey, Dave? What's going on?
Excellent. One question for you. Green Bay, Chicago were two of the five teams that pretty much rested all their starters in preseason, and neither quarterback threw a pass. How much of that do you think contributed to the atrocious offense in game one for those teams?
Yeah, I think part of it goes to familiarity to the old division rivals. You know, throw out the records. These team at, 199th meeting or whatever. But, yeah, I think the preseason nod. I mean, look at all the quarterbacks across the board. They weren't all particularly sharp, the guys that didn't play, right? The Rams put up 30 points, but was Goff sharp? Not particularly. You know, and you can just go on down the line. And certainly for Trubisky, I mean, what did he have? The one series where he came in and handed off twice in preseason, and then he did his Queen's wave and went back to the sideline. So he had that. But, yeah, I certainly think there's something to it. Game speed, and it's an offshoot of the CBA, one of those topics I love getting deep dives in. I'm a nerd that way when it comes to the business of the negotiations of players, since you have such disparate and separate ideas of what you need, right? Because you have your elite that have their money and have their longevity and the other guys that are fighting. So you end up taking deals that are less than ideal for, you know, the small concessions, an extra day off, less hitting in practice. That all comes back to bite you. And if you're not going to play in the preseason, I think it just compounds things.
Talking with Mike Harmon of the Jason Smith Show. You hear him weeknights, 8 p.m. Pacific, and you'll hear him in about 7 hours, a little less than that. He'll grab the captain's chair to get everybody ready for Fox Sports Sunday. Mike, let's dive into this Bears matchup tomorrow. They're laying 2.5 on the road to Denver. You alluded to Fangio versus his old team, but the Bears have had 10 days to prepare. Now, I know, look, the world's a vexing enough place without hypotheticals, but if the Bears start 0-2, do you believe they can rebound to make the playoffs?
No, I think the division's too tough because Detroit gave away that game last week, right? That's a loss. That's not
yes,
a tie.
I agree.
Minnesota's defense is strong and took advantage of Matt Ryan, and you look at what they have as their offensive weaponry, and if Dalvin Cook can stay healthy, they're going to be a tough out. And then Green Bay, 2 years in a row, I mean, they just keep giving away games to the Packers to start seasons. And we saw that with Kyle Fuller when he was unable to secure an interception, and it comes back to bite him. And you look at that. So, you know, and obviously the percentages, what is it, 13% or thereabouts?
Yeah, 17%. You're right. You're right on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself back against the wall, and that division, you know, Detroit's just good enough to mess things up.
Mike, take a look at the quick board tomorrow as we wrap things up. Anything grab your fancy?
Well, I know a lot of folks are excited about the Oakland Raiders and what they can do. No Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs. So, you know, Jonathan Abram, who hit his own teammate and hurt him, and then goes to IR. So your heavy hitter in the defensive backfield out, but that's an interesting division matchup for tomorrow. Going back to Detroit, I mean, the Chargers on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, the Colts with their dominant offensive line, no Derwin James, you have the great start from Marlon Mack. Can Detroit do that with Kerryon Johnson? And, you know, can they get home against Matt Stafford? Otherwise, you got the big guys on the outside and Hockenson down the seam. That could cause some trouble. So people wringing their hands a little bit here in L.A. over that one. And I want to know for real, what, and we're not going to get this test truly for a while, but between Baltimore and Dallas, the hype machines really rolled up when they beat up on two patsies, right? Those are tomato can teams. In week one, right? So Baltimore against Miami, most of the guys clearly didn't want to be there. And you got Lamar Jackson throwing. I mean, he's playing catch. It's like playing catch with your dog out in the park. Here, go fetch it. I'm throwing a frisbee, and there's nobody there to guard you. Likewise, Dallas. I mean, that New York Giants secondary was invisible. Washington was game last week. Had that period in the second half where it all went to hell, but you know, no Darius Geis means Jay Gruden's got to look at Adrian Peterson. Last week he said, I don't imagine we'll have a lot of times we'll want to work from the I formation and run it 50 times. Next week he's got to go with his hat in hand and try to get him to lead the way, so that'll be an interesting thing to watch.
Good stuff, Mike, and I think the subtext there is week one, let's not overreact. Remember, last year, week one, five teams lost, still made the playoffs. Mike, if memory serves, you're going to don the captain's chair here in about 6 hours and 48 minutes. Am I right?
You got it. Myself and George Reister whipping through the game, some fantasy picks along the way, trying to find a couple of ninjas and diamonds in the rough. I do know one thing. After Thursday's game, everything's burning in Carolina.
Beautiful. Mike, I really appreciate you staying up late and coming on tonight.
Oh, anytime. You know, all I'm doing is watching some college football. So, you know, I mean, it's all good.
That's what I love, a man who practices and works his craft. Thanks again, Mike. He is Mike Harmon of the Jason Smith Show. You catch him weeknights at 8 o'clock and, of course, tomorrow, 6 a.m. I know I'll be listening because that's what I do. Thanks again so much for coming on, Mike.
Absolutely, Bernie. We'll talk to you later. Have a winning weekend, guys. Thanks, Steve.
Good deal. Great news, folks. There's a quick and easy way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com and see how much you could save. Coming up, Fezzik's best bet. We're not messing around tonight. He might even have two best bets, and we're going to start to chop up this week two of the NFL season with plenty of facts and figures to get you intoxicated as kickoff is less than 12 hours away. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And in case you missed it, for the remainder of the NFL season, we will be joined by Steve Fezzik, only two-time winner of the Hilton, now Westgate, prestigious Super Contest. You hear him daily, Monday through Friday, on the weekly edition or the daily edition of Straight Outta Vegas, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Steve, we dive right in. New England traveling to Miami, laying 1,000,000 points, but there's a backstory here. This is one of the most talked about games in the NFL for obvious reasons. But take us back to May. One of our favorite events here in Las Vegas are when the early lines come out, and let's talk about the evolution of this line.
Yeah, so very first line put on this game back in May, New England was -7.5, and it's been going up ever since. 1 week ago, the look-ahead line on this game was -11. On Monday, the opening line, they call it the opener for the week, was -14, and now New England is laying 19. What is going on here? Has there been some dramatic change in the personnel for both the teams? No. What has happened is that there are serious concerns. Is Miami tanking? Is Miami giving full effort? And this, frankly, would be unprecedented. When have we ever seen an NFL team give up or not try hard week two early in the NFL season. So you have to ask yourself the question, the only way you can justify this line at 19 is if indeed Miami is not just not trying their hardest, but there is a significant effort issue in Miami, and that may well be true.
Steve, frankly, there's significant precedent. You may have to hold your nose that the dog in this game should cover, right? Teams who cover by 18 or more points in week one since 2010 are 4-16 against the number in week two. Now, there are three or four games that fall into that category. One of them happens to be the Patriots. But let's unpack this game for just a minute. Steve, the last three times that New England laid double digits on the road in Miami, they lost outright. Now, I'm not implying Miami's going to win the game outright tomorrow. But there are some other factors. The heat index, 104 degrees. Brian Flores, the current coach for the Dolphins, was the DC in New England last year. Don't you factor some of these things into your handicap that would lead you to possibly fire on the dog?
Yeah, so it checks all the boxes, doesn't it? That heat index, New England never has played well in Miami, and now they got two linemen out. So you would have to feel that Belichick and company would be perfectly happy to go and play against Flores' coach Miami and not necessarily look to run up the score and try to keep everybody healthy. So because of that, I can tell you that the pros are likely to take a piece of Miami, but there's been no hurry because seemingly every day the spread goes up by 1 point.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens tomorrow. One final thing before we get to your best bet. When I found a factoid just about an hour ago that teams who allow more than 50 points the week before are 27-15 straight up the following week, and if they're home, they're 18-8. Again, I'm not implying that Miami's going to win outright, but I think if I have a gun to my head, I'm taking the points, not giving them. Frankly, full disclosure, I'm on the under at 49. Steve, let's go to a game we just talked about with Mike Harmon. The Bears heading to Denver, laying 2.5 points. Both teams 0-1 on the year. Nobody wants to go 0-2. A little birdie told me this might be your best bet.
Yeah, this is my best bet. I am on Denver. I bet Denver. I like Denver, and it's all about how well Denver plays at home early in the year. And think about this. It makes sense. Teams come out of training camp. They are not in football shape. Well, where is that going to show up the most? Well, historically, it's shown up in altitude when teams have had to travel to Denver and face that altitude. How badly have those teams done on the road early in the year? We're talking weeks 1 and 2. We go back over 30 years on this, Bernie. Denver is 33-3 straight up at home in weeks 1 and 2. 22-11 against the spread. So if you blindly bet on Denver early in the year, you cash 2/3 of your tickets. I can't go against then that trend. I've got to go ahead and back Denver.
And so you're getting 2.5 points. Denver is your best bet, and you're spot on about the fact that Denver does play well in week one. It's not easy to go to Mile High. Should be a defensive tussle. Let's head to my old stomping ground, Steve, Detroit, where the Chargers, another road favorite. At one point, they were laying 3 down to 1.5. You've been pretty vocal about the fact that you like the home dog here, in part because the Chargers are a MASH unit.
Yes, it's not so much that I like your Detroit Lions, Bernie, but I am against...
Semantical.
Yes, I'm against the Chargers. And at some point, you have to deal with so many injuries that I think it just takes up all your time as a coaching staff in preparation. All right, Melvin Gordon. He's sitting out. No problem. Austin Eckler looks great, and he comes in as a great replacement. Well, now tight end Hunter Henry is out, and their best lineman for the Chargers, Russell Okung, is out, and the Chargers' number two wide receiver, Williams, is injured. They've got numerous injuries on the defensive side as well. The bottom line is I think having to go ahead and come up with an effective game plan for the Chargers against Detroit here is going to be so difficult with all those injuries. I could only look towards the Lions.
Not for nothing, because I think Detroit will be a 6-10 team this year. Well, they can't be a 6-10 team because they've already tied a game. But they're 5-1 against the spread in home openers the last 6 years. And by the way, NFL home dogs in game two of the season coming off a game in which they failed to win straight up as a favorite in season openers, 16-6 against the number. So, you know, your Detroit might be a real value play tomorrow. Let's move along. How about those Raiders? Now, they're moving here to Las Vegas next year, so therefore the handle on this game with the Raiders is significant. They host Kansas City. Again, a third home dog. They're catching a full touchdown at home. But let's not bury the lead. There's a significant player, there's an employee for the Chiefs that's out tomorrow.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is my number one rated wide receiver in the NFL. I have him worth 1.5 points to the Las Vegas line. Now, you might say, hey, that doesn't sound like that much, but actually, no non-quarterback is rated higher than Tyreek Hill. He sets up the middle of the field for Kansas City, and we know how good Kelce is when that middle of the field is opened up. I think Kansas City is going to miss Tyreek Hill, and I do like Oakland in this game.
Do you think Oakland could win the game outright?
I really do. I think that the new additions for Oakland played very well. Waller, tight end, was a complete surprise to me. And it's kind of nice to know all these players having watched Hard Knocks, you know, all August. And their rookie running back really had a fine game. Oakland looks like they're going to be a lot better offensively than I expected.
One of the trends we talked about earlier, teams week two in the NFL that are playing the second of road games, back-to-back weeks, they are only 1-14 against the number since 2014, and four teams fall into that category. One of them is the Kansas City Chiefs. One of the things that scares me about the game, though, Steve, Kansas City is a tidy 7-0 straight up and against the spread when facing a team coming off a Monday Night Football game. That doesn't change your opinion too much.
I don't like playing a team that played Monday night and has to wheel back Sunday, but you nailed it as far as the travel. Which team has the most difficult travel this week? I can make the case it's the Chiefs, because not only is it back-to-back games, but there's a whole lot of travel. They had to go to Jacksonville, so they go to Florida, back to Kansas City, now all the way out to the West Coast, and it was 97 degrees in Jacksonville. So even though they won the game easily, I think that takes more out of you to play in the heat and humidity in Florida.
Let's squeeze this in. We've got about 90 seconds. Buffalo at the Giants, you've got a strong opinion about this game, large part due to cluster injuries for one position on one team.
Yeah, so we talked about those giant wide receiver cluster injuries all August, and all of a sudden they got Sterling Shepard back. And we're like, okay, it's not so bad. And then what happened? Well, Sterling Shepard got concussed, so he is going to be out for this game. Lattimore, they're formerly backup wide receiver, now starting wide receiver. Suddenly, he's questionable to play. Just too many injuries for the Giants at wide receiver. I could only look to the Bills.
And again, that's part of the trend we talked about a minute ago. 1-14 against the spread week two since 2014. I'm referring to teams that are playing back-to-back road games to start the season. And the second of those road games, Buffalo falls into that category. Coming up, we've got Minnesota Green Bay, New Orleans Rams, and that Monday night Cleveland Jets tilt, among many, many more. So stick with us. And by the way, my best bet, Fezzik's best bet, second best bet, bonus best bet at the end of the show, and mine will be involved. Well, the game that mine will be involved in will be the Seattle-Pittsburgh games. You want to hear that? And Sleepy also has a best bet, and you're not going to want to miss that. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's Sleepy. We got a ton more to get to. But first, let's go to the man voted most likely to get an endorsement deal with Birkenstock. Yes, it's Brian Finley with the latest.
I don't know how I could ever top that introduction, Bernie. Thank you so much. Number one, Clemson batters Syracuse 41-6 as we run the gauntlet through college football. Number nine, Florida roaring past Kentucky 29-21. Gators quarterback Kyle Trask piloted three touchdown drives, replacing Felipe Franks, who's likely done for the season with a leg injury. A couple late games to finish up. 15th-ranked Oregon railroaded Montana 35-3. Justin Herbert had five touchdown passes, and Arizona improves to 2-1 on the season after their beatdown of Texas Tech 28-14. Gary Brightwell had two fourth quarter runs for touchdowns for the Wildcats. Meanwhile, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Bernie Fratto in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Thank you very much, Brian. And yes, welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio Studios, brought to you by Geico. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. That's A-U-T-O. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. I'll tell you what else is a hard part, figuring out this Monday night game, Steve, because the New York Jets will be hosting the Cleveland Browns. Perhaps it's an homage to the first ever NFL Monday night game played when Joe Namath visited Cleveland. as a member of the New York Jets, but I digress. This game features a storyline that can't be ignored, the largest line move of the entire week.
Yeah, so take a look at what's happened here when Darnold went down with mono and Simeon got announced that he was going to start immediately. The spread on this game before the announcement, the Browns were laying 2.5, Bernie. After the announcement, 6.5, a 4-point line adjustment for Darnold. Now, this line move shocked me. I actually have power ratings for all my quarterbacks. Got it right in front of me, in fact. And I have Sam Darnold, my number 22 stacked ranked quarterback, and I have him worth 2 points versus Trevor Siemian. So what does that mean?
So let's chop that up.
Yeah. So
do the math.
The line was 2.5. Boom. Trevor Siemian's not as good, even though historically Trevor Siemian's stats are pretty comparable to Darnold's. I expected the line to go to 4.5. Well, it didn't happen. It went double that. It went to 6.5. And this is important. Sometimes when you wager, you've got your opinion. You got to back your opinion versus the marketplace. So the market is saying that there's a 4-point differential between these quarterbacks, and I do not agree. I only have it as a 2-point difference. What does that mean? I think there's value with the Jets, and I'm going to be on the Jets.
I think it's the smart play. Now, let's also factor in, Steve, the history of Monday Night Football and home dogs. I know we don't have the data in front of us, but it favors the home dog. And before I give a factoid about this game, I want you to talk a little bit about C.J. Mosley. Now, he may not affect the point spread, but he affects the Jets' defense. How does that cause you to play this game in terms of maybe whether or not you play a different amount on it?
Yeah, so the injury to C.J. Mosley was really critical week one, linebacker for the Jets. And remember, the Jets came into the game short at linebacker. They had cluster injuries. Williamson was out. But C.J. Mosley was playing a tremendous game against Buffalo.
Yes.
When he went out, the defense really started to play poorly. So the absence of C.J. Mosley, and of course, is a major concern. He will be out for this game, along, of course, with Williamson. And because of that, with the Jets linebacker crew pretty much decimated, that's going to make the Jets less attractive to me, but I'm still going to bet the Jets.
I'm with you, and I want to share a factoid before we get to our next game. This really causes me to scratch my head. All right, so we all saw the Browns lose 43-13 to the Titans in week one. Now, since 2003, only one team has closed as a road favorite in week two after losing week one by 20 points or more. Now, think about that for a second. The Browns lost to Tennessee at home as a favorite. They're on the road laying almost a touchdown. The last time a team closes a road favorite after losing week one, it closes a road favorite in week two after losing week one by more than 20 points, were the 2007 New Orleans Saints. They finished 7-9 that year. And by the way, in week two, they lost to Tampa Bay outright in week two. Before we move on, one final thing, Steve, you brought up a great point off air. You believe this game will get to 7.
Yeah, so 7 is such a key number in the NFL, and with it currently sitting at 6.5 and being a Monday night football game, I know a lot of pro bettors, they make a living betting on sports, and we've all talked about this game, and we are just licking our chops. We want 7, because plus 7 is so much more attractive than playing plus 6.5.
Good point. If I never hear the word revenge again, it'll be too soon. All we have heard since last January is how the Saints got screwed. And yes, they did. That was one of the most egregious calls I've ever seen. But the Saints still had a chance to win the game. They actually went up by 3. The game went to overtime. Okay, let's not revisit that. You're tired of it. So are we. So they visit the Rams in an attempt to settle the score, as it were, although I think this is overblown. It's only week two, for crying out loud. Let's pump the brakes. But while everybody is focused on the Saints, well, maybe that's not fair, but a lot of people are. RJ brought up a great point about motivation last week, and Steve, you brought up another good point having to do with which team really may be undervalued in this game.
Yeah, so the Rams win against Carolina. I can make a case that they won the game. They only won by 3, but they did cover the game as well. And the Rams were really in a bad spot last week. Why were they in a bad spot? Well, they rested everybody during preseason, so they were rusty. They had to play at a 10 a.m. start time traveling across the country. So the magnitude of the rust, along with having to play that early start time, very much that they were up against it. So the fact that they were able to go into Carolina and get the win, I think, was very impressive. And remember, the Super Bowl loser typically starts very slowly the next year. How slowly? Well, going into that game, the Super Bowl loser from the year before was 4-15 against the spread. Well, the Rams won against the spread last week.
The Rams went to Carolina, got it done 30-27. You think that's been a little bit tempered now since we've seen Carolina play twice?
Yeah, Cam clearly is not right. Two games, zero rush yards. So that is, I guess you've got to devalue slightly the Rams win against Carolina.
Here's a trend heading into week two that you should note. Teams who covered the spread by 18 or more points in week one since 2010 are actually only 4-16 against the number week two. Who falls into this category? The Titans. They're laying 3 versus Indy. Maybe, Steve, you can correct me if these lines have moved. The Ravens, 13.5-14 at home against Zona. We've already talked about New England minus 19 versus Miami. We've got to get to a lot of other games. We're going to get to Minnesota, Green Bay, Seattle, Pittsburgh. I'm going to call an audible, Steve. I want to get your take on Cincinnati, San Francisco. And also, we're going to be giving our best bets. Will all three have best bets in our final segment? Steve, you've already given one best bet. Remind the fans what that was.
Yeah, so I just had mental block. Of course, the Denver Broncos, 33-3 straight up weeks 1 and 2 of the NFL season. I'm backing that trend, backing the Broncos, +2 against the Bears.
Tough place to play. Another home dog. It's amazing how many home dogs have been week 1 and week 2 thus far in the NFL. So much for parity. He's Steve Fezzik. He's Sleepy. I'm Bernie Fratto. And we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Joined tonight by Steve Fezzik. He'll be with us for the duration of the NFL season. And before I go any further, I want to thank my crew back in Los Angeles. Brian Fenley, Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. Really appreciate the solid work you guys do. Could not produce this fine artwork to a grateful nation without all of your help. And let's not forget our on-site engineer, former U.S. Marine, that would be Sleepy J. Let's head to the aforementioned City of Angels, Steve, and talk. No, I scratched that. Check that. We want to go to Green Bay. We haven't talked about Minnesota, Green Bay, and a lot of folks have a strong opinion about one side of this game because of Aaron Rodgers' ability to dominate the division from the friendly confines of Lambeau Field. But you've got another angle having to do with the total.
Yes, I am on the under in this game, along with a whole lot of other people, because this total has dropped from 46-43. It's all about Minnesota becoming ground and pound under their new offensive coordinator, Stefanski. Stefanski's been with the team 4 games. 3 of those games have gone under, and a big part of that is all the running Minnesota's doing last week. 38 rushes, only 10 pass attempts. I like the under.
And a wink and a nod to Mike Pettine, Green Bay's defensive coordinator, who's brought in some new personnel. So I get the feeling this could be a typical old NFC North, which used to be the NFC Central, which Chris Berman used to call the NFC Norris. You know, slugfest, snot locker, you know, with 2 defensive teams. I think it's trending that way. Speaking of trending, Cincinnati, Steve, has really become a trendy pick this week. San Francisco falls into that trend. A road team, you know, going on the road week 1, going back on the road week 2, although I'm told they didn't fly all the way back to San Francisco. They stayed in Ohio.
Beautiful Youngstown, Ohio. And I don't know how San Francisco is going to respond to that. I got to be honest, I was all ready to bet against San Francisco. They won by 14 at Tampa Bay. They got 2 pick 6 interception touchdowns. The stats weren't that impressive. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a horrible travel spot. I'm all ready to bet on my Bungles. And then I find out San Francisco's having community unity in Youngstown, Ohio for a week. And I just don't know how they're going to respond to that. Because of that, I'm passing this game.
Interesting. All right. All right, well, let's get to the game that has got the most interest for me. You really got me there, bud. Yeah, that's a good curveball you threw me. But by the way, we should point this out, Steve. We're going to talk about these things as we have them last year. Money management, not endangering your bankroll, being discretionary, especially the first couple weeks, you don't have to bet every game.
Yeah, and that's really the one advantage the bettor has. Remember that dastardly bookie charges you 11 to make 10, so you do want to be selective. And let's face it, most of these games are lined correctly.
By the way, you have in the past given a very good primer, as we did on this show, Sleepy and I, a few weeks back, about how to bet teasers and how not to bet teasers. I thought there might have been a chance here where you'd consider teasing San Francisco back up through 3, 4, 6, and 7. No, you're going
to
pass.
Yeah, and the problem is that this line move has come back down to pick them. So
is that right?
Yes, yeah, so there's really no advantage teaser to have where you can tease through the NFL 3 and 7.
Let's hold that thought for just a second. What do you think is driving the San Francisco money? Obviously, there has to be some 49er action coming in to move that line back down.
You know, this line's been all over the place. Frankly, both teams have been favored at some point. I just think different parties have different opinions on this game, and I think it really comes down to how is San Francisco going to respond to being away from home and training in Youngstown, Ohio?
A free vacation to Youngstown. All right, I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're home against Seattle. I believe the line has been pretty steady at 3.5. Am I right?
Yes.
Has it even ever gone to 4?
Went up to 4, now back down to 3.5 in a lot of places.
That's interesting. So we talked about this earlier off air, Steve. Pete Carroll, by virtue of his win over the Bengals last week, they were lucky to escape with, in spite of being 10-point favorites. Pete Carroll has now beaten every team in the NFL in his career. However, he's only 2-3 against the Steelers. Add to that, the Seahawks, 2-12 straight up, 1-12 and 1 again. Well, actually, you've got an updated number.
Yeah.
They're terrible in their road openers.
Yeah, road openers, Seattle, 1-14 straight up, 1-13-1 against the spread. Seattle starts slow to start the year on the road. They're not to be trusted.
I don't think you trust them. Doesn't it catch your attention that last week at home against Cincinnati, they were outgamed by the Bengals 429-233? Doesn't that process somewhere?
Yeah, so on the box score, Seattle won, but in the stats, the Bengals are the team that won the stats.
Let's look at the other side, because the Steelers coming off and a national embarrassment at New England. Maybe New England's that good. We're going to find out. But Pittsburgh, on the flip side of the coin, 31-10 against the spread in games where they're coming off a loss of 20-plus points. The Steelers, all also fairly prolific as home openers, in home openers, 12-2 straight up, 10-4 against the number. And oh, by the way, the last two times, Steve, Seattle visited the Steel City, Big Ben and company won by scores of 24-0 and 21-0. Here's the clincher for me. Ben Roethlisberger in his career, 8-0 straight up against the spread in his NFL career. That's the Department of Redundancy Department. When the Steelers are coming off a loss, an ATS loss is important, of more than 18 points. This game will feature my best bet in a minute. Do you have any thoughts about this game? Will you be involved?
Yeah, I will be involved. I do like the Steelers.
Good to hear. Speaking of that, let's get to everybody's favorite part of the show, best bets. And if you've been with us the last 50 weeks, it's been pretty good. Sleepy, why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm going to do something here that I rarely do with my best bet. I'm going to tease two road teams, 6-point teaser, Browns and the Cowboys. All I need is for both teams to win. Last week, Redskins, 27 points. That was Fugazi. Cowboys secondary, far better than the Eagles. The Redskins' air attack, I don't think that's going to be able to go ahead and duplicate those stats again. And the Browns, I think they're going to be very, very salty after opening week one blowout to the Tennessee Titans. Jets, way too many injuries to overcome here, Bernie. My week two best bet, two-team teaser, Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns.
Interesting. So you like the Brownies to win, just not cover the 7 or 6.5.
I didn't say that.
Steve.
I'm going to go back to the Detroit Lions. My best bet, +1.5 against the Chargers. We talked about all those Charger injuries and how it's going to be very difficult to come up with an offensive game plan that's going to be able to get around all of them. I might make the case that the under-the-radar injury to Russell Okung, their best lineman for the Chargers, could be the most significant of them all, because the Chargers, even with him, were the number 29-rated offensive line with their best lineman. I think this is going to cause major problems for the Chargers as long as he's out. I'm on the Detroit Lions, +1.5 in a big bet.
Well, and you've got a key trend on your side as well, Steve. NFL Week 2, home dogs coming off a loss are 16-6 against the number. Hope always springs eternal for the Lions. And like you said, they might be wearing Charger uniforms tomorrow, but they're not going to be all Chargers. We talked a lot about the Pittsburgh game. It's clearly my best bet. I love the Steelers tomorrow, -3.5. I'm told that the Seahawks retooled. I don't think I saw it. It didn't pass the eye test for me. Again, let me just reiterate, Pittsburgh 12-2 straight up, and 10-4 against the spread in home openers. As Steve Fezzik just pointed out, give that stat again about Seattle, Steve, and road openers.
Yeah, road openers for Seattle, 1-14 straight up, 1-13-1 against the spread.
And let's not forget, too, that Pete Carroll, 2-3 lifetime against the Steelers. They got outgained quite a bit last week. Ben Roethlisberger, 8-0 straight up and against the spread in his NFL career whenever the Steelers are coming off an ATS loss of more than 18 points. And the last two times that Seattle visited the Steel City, they lost 24-0 and 21-0. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. I want to thank Sleepy J, Steve Fezzik, and all of you for listening. Hope your bets are winners tomorrow. Next up, Jason Martin. It's the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Outta Vegas!